morning. This is Jim Santel with Morning Cannolis here at WAUK Radio, the Shaw in downtown Waukesha. But 540 AM, 101 FM, we are taking your phone calls throughout this second hour of Morning Cannolis. That number, once again, 844-967-2789. I'm in the studios here on beautiful Wisconsin Avenue here in downtown Waukesha. My producer is Connor, as he is always diligent and with me, taking your phone calls and sending those in for our discussion this morning. I promised in our first hour, and I'm going to make good on it in our second hour here, that we would talk more about the Wisconsin Sick Temple shooting that happened 10 years ago yesterday, almost at exactly this time in the 10 o'clock hour of the morning, as members of the Sick Faith, the Sick Gurdwara in Oak Creek, were assembling for their Sunday morning services. I'm going to tell you more about exactly what happened as a part of history to ensure that we understand the past and we can learn from it and then also move forward, and also going to be talking this hour about the things that have happened since that time to make the world perhaps a bit better of a place for congregations like the Sikhs and Muslims and Jews and Hindus and Buddhists and Christians, people of all faiths, to get together and worship as they choose. Nonetheless, still facing huge challenges here in America, including threats of violence, which we have regrettably seen even after the Sick violence on August 5th of 2012. Places like the Tree of Life Synagogue in Pittsburgh and other places around our nation. And so let's begin by talking about who it was who did this, who engaged in this horrific violent behavior 10 years ago at this time. He does have a name, but consistent with our general journalism practices and the practices of our traditions, we're not going to say his name today. We know that when those individuals survive these shootings, we do know their names, and they are in the public domain because they are prosecuted. In this case, we know that the shooter killed himself, and we'll get to that in just a few moments. And because of that, he was plainly not prosecuted. We found out additionally that he acted alone, and so no prosecution coming out of this. But nonetheless, a lot of lessons to be learned about who he was, where he came from, and like so many other shooters that we now know about, including very recently in Buffalo and also in Highland Park, just on the 4th of July of this year. We know that they come from these terrible, horrible cocktails of personal disaffection and disillusion and dismay and upsetness and anger with things beyond themselves and things internal to themselves. And the shooter on August 5th of 2012 falls into that category perfectly. We know he was born in 1971. He died on that day, August 5th of 2012. We know as well, he was undeniably a white supremacist. He lived for a long period of time in Cudahy, Wisconsin. He was born and he grew up in Colorado, where much of his family still remains. We'll get back to that in just a moment or so. Part of his growing up, his life in movement toward this horrific day in Oak Creek, was that he served in the U.S. military from about April of 1992 through October of 1998. During the course of that service in the United States Army, he repaired Hawk missile systems and became an operations specialist. Eventually, perhaps some of the first signals of things going wrong, he was demoted and received a general discharge at the time for what were called patterns of misconduct, including being drunk while on duty and being absent without leave. We also know, having investigated this matter and going back and trying to figure out where he came from, what he did, that this shooter was also undeniably exposed to and became a part of this unbelievably violent and counter-human notion that white supremacy is the future of America, the future of our state. And so even while he was in the United States military and exposed to people who promoting white power music and white power thoughts and principles, and that's where he got his first taste of this and his first connections to a group called the Hammerskins, again, a white nationalist, white supremacist group that ultimately landed him at the Sikh Gurdwara on August 5th of 2012. Even before that happened, however, we know that Page, after the shooter here, after he was discharged from the army, he went to Colorado. He lived there where his family was. He was in a Denver suburb called Littleton from about 2000, the year 2000, until 2007. He worked there as a truck driver from about 2006 to 2007. Again, from that employment, fired after receiving a citation for impaired driving due to drinking. So again, this pattern of bad behavior, bad asocial, antisocial behavior, and that brought him again to Wisconsin. We know that during the course of his engagements with his family, not only in Colorado, but also on the East Coast, his family basically disowned him and recognized that inside all of this ugliness that he was promoting, the ascendancy of the white race and this white supremacy view that he had, even though his mother came forward after the shooting and said that she had very little contact with him for the previous 12 years, she was much aware of the fact because of that, because of his past involvement, his present involvement in that white supremacist group and his tendencies in that direction. She had all but disowned him after divorcing his father, who again remained in Colorado. Father, likewise, putting him at arm's length and again removing him from any support that he may have had inside his family. A former friend at the time described him as a loner, and said that on a regular basis he had talked about an impending racial holy war, a racial holy war coming to America. Many neighbors likewise commented on the same kind of behavior. We know, as I already indicated, that he became affiliated with this group called the Hammerskins, this white supremacist group, entering into the white power music scene in about the year 2000, became involved in several neo-Nazi bands at the time. And he founded a particular band called The End Apathy in 2005 and played in other bands called Definite Hate and Blue Eyed Devils. And they were all of them considered racist white power bands. And the Southern Poverty Law Center, this wonderful, amazing group that tracks these kinds of things, the hate incidents in America, identified those groups, those bands, as being especially virulent, especially ugly when it comes to white supremacy. And Page, the fellow who was the shooter here, not only engaged in those bands, but also a part of this white supremacy movement. The shooter also we know, eventually comes back to Wisconsin and finds his way back to Cudahy. He has a romantic interest there. And eventually she also disowns him and says this is not something that she can tolerate. And that relationship likewise devolves. We know that in the days and weeks right before this happened, people who saw him in and about Cudahy, other places in southeastern Wisconsin, were reporting on the fact that his behavior became more and more radical and more odd. He put up black covers over the windows at his apartment. Many people saying that, again, living alone, rarely leaving his apartment, avoiding eye contact with people in and about that time. So again, an awful lot of indications, as we have seen in other circumstances, that the shooter in this case was in fact losing touch, not only with any sort of support that he might have out there, but becoming more and more alone. And sure enough, in the last days, not only did his girlfriend disown him, as his family had done, but the very group that he had associated with this white supremacist group, came to him and said, "You are no longer a part of our group." Why? Because they had discovered, true to their own virulent and ugly beliefs about America and about their own membership, relationship that the shooter had previously dated a woman of Native American heritage. So they disowned him. He is thrown out of that group as well. And so sometime in late July of 2012, the shooter does go into a gun shop in West Dallas, Wisconsin, and he buys a handgun. He buys a 9mm Springfield semi-automatic pistol. He does it legally. He passed the background checks that were required, paid cash for that gun, along with three 19-round magazines. And the owner of the gun shop, who is talked to, obviously investigated, as we'll get to, said that the shooter's appearance that time that he was there didn't raise any sort of eyebrows, didn't raise any sort of concerns or suspicions at that time, even as all these other indicators from family and from other people who had some contact with him indicated that he was indeed devolving. Again, this horrific cocktail of personality dysfunction and particular behaviors that certainly indicated that something horrific was going to happen. We know that there were photographs of the shooter that appeared in some media reports showing him with a range of tattoos on his arms and bodies. Most of those likewise establishing this connection to the white supremacist organization. And that brings him then to August 5th of 2012. As we know, as I will tell you in just a moment, reaffirming in just a moment, he died that morning. He killed himself, and so we can never reach quite into his mind, but it is undeniably a hate crime that happened on that morning. His decision, obviously, to go into this place of worship, this place of peace, to identify and to attack people who look different than he is, who he probably identified as being contrary to his own white supremacist group theories, and so he attacked. And right after the break, we'll talk more about what the shooter did, his activities that day, also taking your callers about this revisiting of history and the lessons we take from this horrific tale of what happened that morning. We're taking those calls at 844-967-2789. This is Morning Cannolis, a special session in the remaining time this morning, talking about the Sikh Temple shooting in Oak Creek, Wisconsin. Join us for this discussion. Special session this morning coming from the studios of WAUK Radio in downtown Waukesha, the Shaw in Waukesha, 540 AM, 101 FM. This is a special session of Morning Cannolis. We're devoting all of our time, part of last hour and all of this hour, to a reflection and a commemoration of the horrific hate crimes event at the Sikh Gurdwara, the Sikh Temple in Oak Creek, Wisconsin, being memorialized even as we speak, even as we get together and think about this time 10 years ago when a shooter entered into the temple and took the lives of seven members of the congregation, injured many others, and forever changed the arc of American history, of worldwide history. And you should know as well that the events of August 5th are being remembered throughout the world, not only by the Sikh populations in our country, but in every country around the planet. And it is a part of that worldwide celebration that's also occurring right now in Oak Creek, Wisconsin. I'll remind you at the end of this hour about things that you can become involved in immediately after the conclusion of this program from 11 to 3 today and again tomorrow morning. I'm very much invited by the congregation to participate in this important time of reflection and commission to the future. Right before the break, I was telling you more about the shooter himself, the things that brought him to the site of the Sikh Temple on August 5th of 2012. And so let us talk about what happened that morning. Again, not in graphic detail, but at the same time to have a greater appreciation for what happened to animate our movement forward beyond this as well. You may be asking yourself, why, Jim, so much focus on this morning? I was the United States Attorney on August 5th of 2012. As many of you know, I was honored to be the presidentially appointed U.S. attorney under the presidency of Barack Obama. Served for 6.5 years, a total, both as previously as the court-appointed attorney and then as the presidentially appointed attorney, U.S. attorney, for the Eastern District of Wisconsin. And so working not only with assistant U.S. attorneys and DAs and other law enforcement in the Eastern District of Wisconsin, which is basically the eastern side or counties of the state of Wisconsin, but also others throughout the nation. And among the very things that I am honored to recall is our connection with Maine Justice and the support that was received by groups like the Community Relations Service, by the Civil Rights Division, as we responded in the wake of August 5th of 2012 to this horrific shooting. And so on the morning of August 5th, not unlike a morning just like this, bright and sunny day, it was a Sunday. Many people attending, Christians and Muslims, Jews, members of the Jain faith, Hindus, Buddhists, all sorts of faith, obviously expressing their religious beliefs and attending services that morning. And that was true also of the Sikh congregants. At about 10 o'clock, 10:15, 10:30 or so, people beginning to arrive on the campus of the Sikh Gurdwara right there on Howell Avenue in Oak Creek. Not yet undertaking the formal services of that day. Music almost certainly underway, and families beginning to prepare what's called the Langar Meal, L-A-N-G-A-R, for service and providing to anybody who would show up that morning. And so beautiful, wonderful morning. No indication, obviously, of the horrific events to happen. I happened to be in the office that morning picking up on some things, some work to be done for the coming week, and catching up some work from the past week. And so I recall well that phones began to ring at about 10:40, 10:45 that morning. I reminded very much in looking back at notes and history of that time that it was about 10:26 on the morning of Sunday, August 5th, 2012, that the first phone calls began to come in to law enforcement indicating that there was an active shooter at the Sikh temple in Oak Creek. About 10:26, presumably the shooting had already been underway as people got on their phones and began to call in and report on what happened. So what exactly do we know about what happened? And I will tell you that in the wake of this horrible disaster, this crisis, this tragedy for all of us, including the families of the victims and the survivors of it, the FBI, under our supervision with Maine Justice and others here locally, did in fact still pursue an investigation and had the honor and the great privilege of presenting to the families and to the members of the public as well the results of that investigation. And much of this is derived from that. Plainly, many accounts of people who are still alive today, who remember it well, the leaders of the Gurdwara, who you can meet this weekend and talk with them about the horror of that time, but also their wonderful commission and their response to this in a way that stands as one of the best ways of responding to a tragedy of this sort, embracing life, embracing a community, and even forgiving the shooter who did this horrific thing on that morning. He does go into the temple. We don't know if he was there before, but a lot of his conduct, his movement inside, which again, you can see, you can be a part of that movement as you engage with the the members of the Sikh congregation and others this afternoon in the workshops, in the congregation discussion sessions. You can be there and be with them as a way of support, but also of education. The shooter was there that morning and walked in and moved around inside the temple itself, moving down the hallways, moving into the Langer Hall, which is this place of congregation for members of the faith as they're getting together to eat and to congregate and talk and to have community and communion with each other. Shooting repeatedly in that time. As you go in today, if you are visiting there today or at any time down the road, and again, the Sikh congregation always open and leadership inviting you to be there. To this day, they have retained one of the bullet holes that remains in the door jamb as a reminder. And it says, "We are one," August 5th, 2012, as a reminder of what happened on that morning. People killed that morning inside the Gurdwara itself. People also scurrying about. A great number of them went into a downstairs area. Undeniably saving lives as a result of that quick movement. Others sacrificing their lives in the interest of preserving the lives of others that day. He then eventually moves out back into the parking lot and takes on other people. More individuals killed out in that parking lot, which remains, again, a place of solemnity and of civil rights history and of human rights history to this day, as do the environments inside the Sikh temple itself. During the course of his time back out on the parking lot, already engaging in the melee, the horrific hate crimes violence of that morning, he does engage Satwan Kaleka, the leader, the organizer, the founder of the Sikh temple. Every reason to believe, all the evidence suggests that Satwan at that time engaged the shooter and brought him to a situation where he would not have engaged in even more death, more violence that day. Satwan Kaleka gave up his own life in that struggle with the shooter at that time. And as a result of that, Satwan Kaleka lost his life in that moment. And then, as law enforcement, again, responding to these first phone calls, begins to appear, we're going to talk right after the break about the heroic behavior of someone named Brian Murphy and of Sam Lenda in response and ultimately bringing this. This is Jim Santel, Morning Cannolis, devoting the remainder of this hour, virtually all morning, to the events of August 5th of 2012 at the Oak Creek Gurdwara in Oak Creek, Wisconsin, where you can go this afternoon and tomorrow again to be a part of this community engagement, this community time of discussion, and thoughtful reminiscing about and reverence to the past, thinking about the past, but also commissioning the future as well. We have a couple of phone callers who've called in. And thank you so much for being a part of our discussion this morning. Let's first hear from Mark. Mark, appreciate your phone call.
Yeah, thank you so much for taking my call. And it points out our need in this country to look at the whole meaning of acceptance of the other. That because, unfortunately, you know, this kind of thing is not unique to this century, you know, because that... the Mormons were driven west to, you know, to Utah, you know, through religious persecution, that other groups have been not treated with tolerance. I mean, that the Puritans, for example, you know, didn't treat anybody who didn't think exactly like them with any kind of charity or compassion, that, you know, driving them out of their colony into points outside of it, other if they didn't execute them.
Right, and Mark, your concept about, you know, that the other, that person who doesn't look like I am, who behaves in a different way than I do, worships in a different way than I do. I think it's fair to say that's exactly what animated the shooter here, right? Looking at somebody, looking at a group of people, probably did not even know who they were. Probably didn't even be able to say that they're members of the Sikh faith, but nonetheless saying they're different. I am angry about something that's happened in my my own life, my own course of history, and I reach out. And you know, your word tolerance, we embrace that, but we go beyond that, right? And even the stories you're telling about other populations in the nation, we don't just tolerate people, we also should be embracing them. We don't have to be them, we don't have to adhere to every view, every view that's different from ours, but we do need to embrace our fellow men and women, boys and girls, and people of all backgrounds, of all races and national origins and mutable characteristics. That's what it's all about. And overcoming that bridge, Mark, as you're saying, to overcome that sense of the other, that is one of the great lessons of this horrific event in Oak Creek. An awful lot of that on display the past couple of days, and again today and tomorrow as well. So appreciate your call very much, Mark, as always. Thank you for that insight and that important message to us this morning. Joe, you're also with us this morning. Thanks, Joe, for coming back with us and being a part of our discussion again this morning.
I thank you for bringing this up. It's a really, really important topic, and I think it's really important because violence reverberates. It doesn't stay in the past. It obviously, like waves, keeps continuing to affect people's lives. Certainly the most immediate people are affected, but it goes beyond that. People have their memories they pass on to other people, memories of people who aren't there, opportunities lost, memories lost. All of that reverberates, and I think it's important to understand that these people had a with this horrific event, no one could have faulted them for going to hate, but they chose not to. They chose not to. They made a conscious choice not to go to hate. And I think it's important. I don't know if you spent any time on this, but I'll just reiterate in case any time has been spent on this, that the Sikh religion is very interesting in that it came about in response to the caste system in India, where people were not equal, and that one of the most important tenets of that religion is that we are all equal, including women, including everybody from different castes. And that political line is also part of their religious life. And it's interesting in the ways that it's expressed, because the Sikh religion has the highest number of people who serve in the in police force and in the military in India, far beyond the numbers that you would have in the census. It's not unlike the predominance of Native Americans who serve in our military, far beyond what their numbers are, because they believe in their culture that it's very important to be of service and to give back.
Absolutely.
So that's one of the... I really appreciate you bringing this topic up and enhancing our understanding of our neighbors here in the state and the times that they're going through, and that they chose to keep a bullet hole in their wall as a reminder and find a way so that doesn't fuel hate, but instead fuels healing and reaching out to others. It's really commendable. Well, so thanks for bringing this up. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely, Joe, and so appreciate the phone call. So at least two very important things, Joe, that you're underscoring here. And yes, we did spend some time in our session last week talking about some of the fundamental tenets. And let's restate those, because, Joe, as you indicate, it's important to do that. A fundamental notion of service is called SEWA, S-E-W or S-E-V-A, as a way of really affirming this notion that I am a part of a larger community, exactly what you're describing, Joe. And again, as you indicated so very well, not just tolerance, but embracing other people and saying, you know what, you can be different than I am religiously, in terms of your political views, your commercial views, other things that you've got out there. But nonetheless, you're a part of a larger community, and it is inside the faith itself. And Joe, you make that point very, very well. We spent some time last session talking about that. It is always, always good to reaffirm that. And just by way of additional encouragement, those are the kinds of things that you will see on display, Joe, and others who are with us this morning, right now at the Oak Creek Goodwill. They'll be talking about those very principles that have animated this religious belief, this faith, for 500 years. They're doing that today, and doing that tomorrow can be part of that as well. You know, this other portion that you also mentioned, which is the legacy. During the course of the vigil last night, the children and the grandchildren of some of the seven people who were slain, martyred 10 years ago at this time, spoke. And needless to say, hugely emotional, but also hugely telling about the ways in which a generation of people can overcome and forgive, even as their hearts are continuing to break. Joe, you make the important point that that's also a part of the Chardi Kala, this eternal optimism, even in the wake of great challenges inside the Sikh faith. It was on display last night. It continues to be on display among the families of the victims who spoke to the entire group, hundreds of people last night, more of them today and tomorrow, saying, you know what, this horrible thing happened to our community, our congregation, our faith, but I forgive. Dr. Kulwant Dhaliwal, who is the chair of the Board of Trustees, said at the time, very, very publicly, very vocally, one of the first things out of his mouth was, I forgive the shooter. He didn't know who the shooter was. He didn't know what happened here. He didn't know all the history that I've recounted here this morning. Still said, you know what? Whatever that person did, I forgive. And yes, it has been the great story of this faith, of this community, the Sikh community, the Oak Creek community, the Wisconsin community. Frankly, I'll go far enough to say the entire national community that responded to this horrific event in a positive way, and that continues to be on display to this day. Joe, so appreciate your, as always, your phone call, your observation about the traditions of this faith, and again, this importance of legacy, that the negativity can be passed along, but also the positivity of things beyond yourself, and the notion that we live to a happier day, even while always remembering the dangers and the horrors of the past. Joe, again, a very important phone call. Thank you so much, as always, for being with us. We're taking other phone calls as well at 844-967-2789 as we talk more about what happened that morning. And again, the reason for doing this, to remember, to record our own history. It has been 10 years since this happened. And then also in our last movements here this morning, talking about the things that have happened since that time. Joe's phone call underscores a lot of that. But we're also going to talk about other ways in which the community, the government, federal, state, and local responded to this event. Let's talk more immediately about law enforcement. And I mentioned right before we heard from Mark and from Joe about this amazing law enforcement response. We know in other venues, it has not been a professional response. This was just the opposite 10 years ago at this time. First on the scene, Brian Murphy, truly a hero. Brian is around this weekend, as he often is in Oak Creek. He spends a lot of his time these days touring the country because he is much in demand, not only by law enforcement, but by community members, by members of religious communities as well, who want to hear his story, want to know more about what happened, but also want to learn from that. And Brian's got a great law enforcement story to tell, greatly instructive. He was there that morning. He was the first responder. We know well, as graphic as this is, that Brian was shot 15 times by the shooter on that morning. He lived to tell about the story. And beyond that, in the wake of his shooting, another police officer arrived. His name was Sam Lenda. And from a spot across the parking lot, Sam Lenda fired a shot into the shooter, brought him down, and the shooter himself then took his own life, bringing this event finally to a conclusion. Right after the break, we're going to talk more about what happened in the wake of this terrible event right here on the Shaw, WAUK Radio, Morning Cannolis. Thank you for joining us. Continue our discussion after the break.
Name and bright lights, you're a rock star. In some tinfoil with a glass pipe, is your guitar. Now, yes, it is.
And we're we're back for our final segment this morning on Morning Cannolis. We're talking today in solemn memory, in pensive thought about the victims of the Sikh temple shooting on August 5th of 2012. And right before the break, I was describing once again the specific incidents that happened that morning. This absolutely, positively amazing response from law enforcement in Oak Creek. Brian Murphy wrestling with the shooter, taking himself 15 bullets to his body. He believed at the time that he was going to die, and he would tell you that he was hearing from his sister, who he had lost just months before that, and calling him home that time as he was in the parking lot there. Brian brought to a police car, brought to the hospital in the course of some amazing work by his medical staff and his doctors, retained not only the vitality of his life, but now reinvigorated to talk about what happened that morning, including his heroism. He wouldn't call it that, but all the rest of us will, in bringing this shooter finally to an end. Also by Sam Lenda, who fired this shot, who brought him down. The shooter then did commit suicide in that moment, and the entire event over. But needless to say, a huge amount of law enforcement response, not just from Oak Creek, from throughout southeastern Wisconsin, throughout places throughout the state of Wisconsin, federal, state law enforcement, local law enforcement coming to the scene, from northern Illinois as well, other places around the country arriving to ask the question, how can I help? And equally, civilian organizations, victim witness support groups, all sorts of civilian organizations of various kinds showing up and saying, how can I assist? How can I help? And to Joe's point right before the break, talking about the ways in which this community responded in this incredibly positive way to this absolutely terrible tragedy that happened. I mentioned that Dr. Dhaliwal immediately said, we forgive this shooter for what he had done, even as, quite literally, the results of his horrific event are still there at the Gurdwara for a number of days. Eventually, the FBI, others do the investigation there, discover that Page, although he did have these connections, he did have these connections to others in the area, in the Hammerskin, a white supremacist group, acted alone that day, and so no one to prosecute, but nonetheless an awful lot of lessons to be learned, including what happens next, as I'm indicating here this morning as well. A huge commitment by the congregation, including what it did a year later, and every year since that time has organized a reflection, a time of reverent thought about what happened, every single year inviting the community in. At the 5-year mark, likewise, had an anniversary celebration, and this weekend, once again, reestablishing for everyone to see, to invite all of us to be a part of this time of reflection, and you can go there right now, beginning at 11 o'clock to 3 o'clock this afternoon, this Charity Kala community event, right there at the Sikh Temple of Wisconsin, 7512 South Howell Avenue. Groups of people organized to provide you with information, insight, how you can get involved, a great number of workshops by adults, by young people, talking about ways in which we can move forward from this inside the Gurdwara itself. If you have never been there, this is the time to do it. You can go at any time. And again, consistent with the general view of open doors, Gurdwara, meaning the house of the gurus, 4 doors of every single Gurdwara around the planet, around the state of Wisconsin, every place else there's a Gurdwara, 4 doors. Doors meant to be open, to invite you in, and that is the invitation made even in this moment by the leadership of the Gurdwara in Oak Creek to be there and participate in these events, starting in just a few moments at 11 o'clock, lasting until 3 o'clock this afternoon. Likewise, tomorrow morning, in the final portion of this 4-day, 5-day recollection of what happened on August 5th of 2012, a service inside the Gurdwara itself. Again, if you have not been there before, plainly a time of many people congregating, but be there, or be there some other time to partake in this wonderful religion that has so much in common, as many people have commented about already, with other religions, the Christian faith, the Muslim faith, Jewish faith, the Jain faith, the Hindu faith, Buddhist faith, people of all faiths believing in things beyond themselves, committed to things that are more important than individual agendas and focuses. That was on display last night at the vigil and also on display today as you go there. We know beyond that this congregation, these people are committed to making sure the world is a better place as a result of some testimony given by the families of some of the slain members of the faith before the United States Congress. There were changes in the way that today we record and memorialize hate crimes in this country. That was as a result of what happened in Oak Creek, Wisconsin. We know that today about half of the states of the Union, including right here in Wisconsin, have developed in various ways, implemented in various school districts around states, specific curriculums talking about Sikhism and the notion that it is among the great faiths on the face of our planet, having a greater understanding of world religion, the Sikhism faith being among them. That continues to grow. About half of the states now have established curriculums as a result of the Oak Creek event. We know as well then in Oak Creek itself, because of the wonderful work of the librarian there, a woman named Jill Lininger and her staff, there is now established the largest public collection of Sikh studies, novels, and nonfiction, music, poetry. You can go there. And again, Jill will take care of you and make certain you've got a library card. You can check out materials to explore further what Sikhism is all about. There is a library, both at the Sikh Gurdwara in Oak Creek and also an expansive library at the Oak Creek in Brookfield. The librarians there will also welcome you. They will give you materials to take with you, materials that you can have permanently as a part of your own library to understand more about this important faith. We know as well that there are an awful lot of things in the areas of housing and employment and academics that have been expanded to include understandings, the kinds of things that Joe talked about, embracing people of different immutable characteristics, different faiths, nationalities, sexual orientations, gender identities, abilities, disabilities, familial statuses, economic statuses, all kinds of things devolved and coming out of this important, even horrific event in Oak Creek of August of 2012. All of that is a result of what happened there that we recognize and think back on at this very time. We know as well that the ugly voices of hate and the terrible acts of inhumanity that have happened here in Wisconsin, in every state of our union, in every civilized country on this planet, because of what happens in places like Oak Creek, good, sensible, enlightened, responsible people respond to those, condemn those, and both inside government and outside government look to those and say by word and by deed that those are things of disaffection. Those are things of separation and hatred and anger and they are properly relegated to the dung heaps of human history because of the anger and the violence that they partake of. And it is a part of the recommissioning to go in a positive way, Chardikala, as you will learn as you go to the Sikh temple, to be positive and to embrace the good things in life, the good things that bring us all together. When you go there this afternoon, tomorrow, or at any time down the road, walk in and you will be formally greeted. You will be welcomed. You will also receive today a small hand bracelet. It is consistent with a thing called the Kara, which is an iron bracelet that many Sikhs wear, which is a reflection not only of their commitment to God, but also to things beyond themselves, to behave well, to know that there are people and things that are important beyond themselves. But you will receive today a black, small rubber arm band, if you will, a small bracelet. It has on it the words Sarbat Dabala, Sarbat Dabala, and that also comes from the Sikh tradition of their basic scripture, which is the Guru Granth Sahib, Sarbat Dabala, meaning seeking the welfare of all, seeking the welfare of all. That is on the handbands, the wristbands that you will get as you go there today in being a part of this community that is a part of us, a part of all of us. And again, strong encouragement to do that as we acknowledge what happened in our
our own history and remember back and commit to do a not only things that reach out to people of all faiths, but people of all immutable characteristics in our nation. It has been my great pleasure to be with you again this morning. I thank you so very much for joining me for this special session of Morning Cannolis. I invite you once again to be a part of Oak Creek, be a part of Wisconsin, be a part of our nation in acknowledging what happened 10 years ago at this time, and join us again, not next week. We're going to take 1 week off, but we're going to come back 2 weeks from today with more programs here on Morning Cannolis, addressing not only issues of law and government and civics and civil rights, human rights, but also the search for justice in America. Be with us then down the road. This is Jim Santel. Thank you for joining us here at WAUK Radio, the Shaw in Waukesha. Have a good week, have a good weekend, and we'll see you again, hear you again in 2 weeks.